There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Everyone knows the story of Aladdin, or do they? Since it was first added to the Arabian Nights in an 18th century French publication, it has been interpreted in many different ways, most often as a children's tale of rags to riches. Now, we are about to be joined on the phone by Professor Paulo Lemos Horta, who has most recently edited Aladdin, a new translation. It's been praised by Publishers Weekly as an exhilarating translation that will thrill fans of darker, more complex fairy tales and upend readers' preconceived image of Aladdin. Welcome to the show, Paulo, all the way from Spain.
Thank you. My pleasure.
At what time is it there in Barcelona?
It is just a little bit past 9:30. It's a glorious sunny day.
So thank you so much for joining us on the show. So what is it that we think we know about Aladdin, but which you've recently discovered is all a lie? I mean, how far away from the truth is, say, the Disney version that maybe I'm most familiar with?
Well, we think that Aladdin is basically an invention of the West, be it the Disney version or the Victorian Panto, or even the first French translation of the story. Because there is no Arabic text, we've considered it for about 300 years to be probably a French invention that just got embroidered over time by, you know, Victorian imperialists or Disney capitalists. But it turns out that it actually is an Arab story, and that's very exciting, and an exciting story to share with Dubai.
How did you come across, there was new information that I think that you found, or an old manuscript that you discovered. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, there's a figure of a storyteller that the French translator did acknowledge in his diary, Hanna Diab, from Aleppo, Christian Maronite. But scholars had reason to question either his existence or whether or not he had much influence on giving a story to the French translator Galland, as Galland claims in his diary. Recently, Hadiab's own memoir of traveling from Aleppo to Paris has surfaced, and in it he does say that he met this old man who was translating the Arabian Nights, and he was able to give him some stories, confirming that indeed the story came directly from an Arab storyteller to Paris.
Hello, Paulo. It's Isabel here. Lovely to be speaking
Hello,
to you on Talking of Books. And sorry you're not here with us in person, but this is almost as good. So were you excited when this new research came to light and you thought, yes, because you are very sort of very much involved in translations of all of the tales?
Yes. Yes, I was very excited. I mean, I had long suspected that Diab had to exist because I had actually gone as a young graduate student into the Bibliothèque Nationale in Paris and looked at the Moleskine-sized diary that Antoine Galland kept 300 years ago. And I could see that his handwriting changed when he would say, today Hanna Diab came and told me the story early. And then he would basically cut into a kind of shorthand full of mistakes because he clearly had somebody in front of him telling these stories, like Ali Baba, and he was jotting them down very quickly, and you could just tell from looking at the handwriting that somebody had actually told him the story. So I always knew, but of course most scholarship, it was not based on looking at the diary, but looking already at published versions of the diary where you can't see things like handwriting changing because somebody's there in front of you telling you a story.
That must have been just such a sort of a moment for you to sort of, as you said, not to see the published version of his writing, but actually his own handwriting. And we all know if we're trying to get something down quickly, it will be scribbled. We use shorthand and things like that. And then to sort of come across that and think, yes, there is more to this than meets the eye.
And in some cases, there's this wonderful story called The Sultan of Samarkand that Galland was writing down from Hanna Diab, the Syrian, and it's very clear that Galland had difficulty following the plot. Like, the story drifts into this realm, seven earths beneath our earth, and you can just tell that, you know, Galland is struggling as he's trying to jot down the story. In fact, he didn't include that in his Arabian Nights. So you get a sense of the dynamic between the two men.
And it's pretty good timing, isn't it, Paulo, in terms of your new Aladdin?
Well, I think that it is important. I think there's a genuine affection for this story You know, for the musical of Aladdin, I myself have spoken to many Emirati students, and from the broader Middle East, Egyptian. There's a genuine love of the stories as they come down through the Disney versions, right? The musical, which is playing in London, New York, and elsewhere, and the animated film, and now the new blockbuster version, the live-action version. And I think that it's good to know that the story does have an actual Arab story, Arab origin, and it's not simply an invention. And that in a way, it's okay to know the songs and enjoy them. And now you can read the sort of darker, more real version of the story in this book.
Is there anything that you, telling the darker story, that is not part of, say, popular myth about Aladdin?
Well, I think that because of the story, you know, that we in the English-speaking world in particular have been so imprinted by the pantos, and he's behind you, and a kind of a violence-free version, let's say, and the Disney as well, you may be surprised to see that the Maghrebi magician does kill in this version. And, you know, while it's perfectly, there's nothing in this book, it's a young adult book, there's nothing in it that a child or young adult couldn't read. There are, more themes about growing up. The courtship of the Princess Badour, having to get the vizier's son, who was a competing suitor, out of the way. All of this is, I think, much more... it is darker, and maybe would resonate actually better with the readers of, say, Hunger Games today, or the kinds of things that,
that they're reading. And you collaborated with the translator Yasmin Searle on this.
Yes.
So yes. How did that go?
Well, it was quite a. I have to say, it was quite fun. We went in so many different directions. At one point, Yasmin had a version of this which was 17,000 words, which is about maybe one-third of what it is right now. There's, you know, many different cuts, many different edits. What we ended up doing was not cutting any scenes, including everything. Yasmin does say, she accelerated the pace a little bit to convey the sense of Shahrazad, trying to save her story by telling the story, you know, within the context of the Arabian Nights, to Sharia, to save her life, to live for another day. So we did have to make these decisions about pacing and about what to include and what to exclude. And of course, we decided to keep everything so people can have a sort of a true version of the story in comparison to the Disney or the Pantone.
And you'll be with us at the 11th Emirates Airline Festival of Literature, 1st to 9th of March, and we'll be able to share your Aladdin along with the translator you worked with on this, Yasmin Searle. Who would you say would be the right audience for this in terms of age and demographic?
Well, I really think that so many of us have grown up with this story, so I would say anybody from an eight-year-old child to an adult would be captivated by the discovery of what the actual story of Aladdin, which in many respects overlaps with the story that we know from a musical and a film and a panto, but in some interesting respects doesn't. I think that process of discovery would be something, you know, as I say, for young adults and adult audiences alike. And I have to say, you know, here I am as editor. Yasmin deserves all the credit. She may be the most talented writer, as a literary writer, to have tackled the Arabian Nights in English. Other traditions have the luxury of many eloquent literary versions, for example, in French or in German of the Arabian Nights. I think in English, and I've written a whole book about this, as you know, we have these, you know, bumbling adventurers and imperialists and, you know, literally invading countries as they're editing Arabic manuscripts of the Arabian Nights or translating them. And I don't think that we've had somebody of this order of talent tackle in English, the Arabian Nights before. And so I think that the greatest excitement will just be at the level of story. It's just the beauty of this translation. It's something unprecedented in English letters. I think that's very exciting. I'm very glad to be associated with that.
One last question that I've got for you is, Aladdin is a story that's been capturing our imaginations, all of our imaginations, since about the 18th century. What do you think is about, what do you think makes it one of the best loved folk tales of all time? Why does it continue to inspire us?
I think it speaks fundamentally to growing up, you know. It really is about somebody who's orphaned and you know, who was kind of indolent and lazy and not particularly promising, didn't want to follow in his father's trade or footsteps, you know. The text implies that his father dies of grief because of that. And in a way, he's forced to grow up. And the story takes you through, you know, his first love, his courtship of it's all the sort of experiences of being an adolescent and being forced to become an adult. And these are very universal. And the research I did for this edition, I realized that the story was very popular before the first panto. It was incredibly popular across Europe and the world, everywhere it had been taken, before it had been adapted for the stage or being circulated in musical or film form. It really is a universal story of triumphing against very dark forces.
And something,
in a way like a Harry Potter against Voldemort. You know, I think these archetypal stories of boys growing up, proving themselves against impossible, dark, mysterious, magical forces, I think they do have a fundamental, elemental appeal to us.
And wonderful that you've discovered the original storyteller from Aleppo, who was responsible for this tale. And that really does make it momentous, doesn't it?
Yes, I mean, I've written about that in my book, Marvelous Thieves, coming out in paperback in 10 days. That's as much of a plug as I'll make for that book.
Yes. Paolo, we can't wait to have you back at the 2019 Emirates Airline Festival of Literature next March. And do keep in touch. And we will be definitely letting all and sundry know that they have to come along to the Aladdin session. All the best.
Great. And Annabelle and Isabel, it's my great pleasure once again to be with you and to be talking about books.
Thank you.
Thanks so much,
Paolo.
Bye-bye
then. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Paolo Lemos-Horta there, Professor, talking to us about Aladdin, a new translation, which I think is out now. And he will be talking to us about that at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature next year.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.